winding it down here.
Bill, can you talk about the decision to sign LeGarrette and what that adds to your team?
Well, you know, we tried to sign LeGarrette in the offseason. You know, that didn't work out, which is it's the NFL. It's a business part of the NFL. And he was released. He was available, and we were able to work it out for him to come back here. So glad to have him back.
When you see a guy in game shape like he has been pretty much all season, how much does that factor into the decision to bring him back?
I don't know. I mean, pretty much everybody in the league has been playing at this time of year, with some exceptions, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know the player. We have a history with him, so I think that was the biggest part of it.
Based on the history and knowing LeGarrette Blount, how do you see him contributing and helping the team?
Well, that'll be up to him, just like everybody else. When he gets an opportunity, how much he can take advantage of it, how much he can be productive, what he can do with those opportunities will determine how many more there are and how it becomes. So it's totally up to him. He knows that. We've talked about that. That's, you know, he knows that's the way it is, and that's, I think he's excited about it.
Jonas Gray was one of those guys that took advantage of the opportunity. Is this a chance? Do you see them maybe being able to feed off of each other?
I don't know.
Make NFL history with the first number 60 running back in the NFL?
Yeah, no, I'm sure he'll have a regular number to ask the equipment people about that. Maybe he's just those jerseys got mixed up. I don't know.
Yeah. Vince was saying he thought it might be a new snapper or a new lineman out there. on the Lions, I'm curious your thoughts. One player I don't think we've touched on too much this week is the linebacker, DeAndre Levy. I think that's how you say it. Just when you look at them defensively, what do you see from him?
A lot of production. You know, he's on the field all the time. They don't take him off. He's around the ball a lot, really instinctive, does a real good job in the running game. He's on the ball. His run keys are good. He's got good speed, can make plays sideline to sideline, runs well. Athletic player that's smart, instinctive, very productive. He's a good player. It's a good job for him.
Pretty much what you remember in 09 coming out of Wisconsin. I mean, obviously it's...
Yeah, but I mean, he's really been productive, you know, and then when Tolik got hurt this year, I mean, he had a big role anyway, but it kind of, let's say, thrust him into maybe even a little bigger role. They've been in a lot of sub-defense. You know, he's a key guy for him on that, obviously. So he's had production, you know, really, what's his fourth year, fifth year, whatever it is. Yeah, whatever. You know, he's had consistent production, but he's had a lot of production. I mean, obviously, we've studied him a lot more this year than the last couple, and he's had a lot of production this year.
Well, obviously, LeGarrette's familiar with what you guys are doing here, but I'm wondering if, when you're looking at making personnel decisions like that, is there a point in the season where you say, it's so late in the year now, it may not be worth it? I'm sure it depends on the player, but it may not be worth it because he would just have so much to try to pick up that it would be hard for him to contribute.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely been an evaluation that we've had of some players throughout the years. Yeah, absolutely. There are some guys who just, you get to a certain point, and it's probably, set the way till next year, or, maybe sign me all season as a future, or, they just don't have enough time or practice, based on what you're able to do in practice, at this time of year, and how much there is. It's not what we're doing at training camp. It's that plus another dozen weeks of volume of what we've done, and plus whatever team we're playing, it's their volume too. They didn't stay the same either. So all the different things that you see from your opponent, regardless of who the opponent is, it starts to exponentially, ratchet up pretty fast. So yeah, that definitely is a conversation that we've had with multiple players, depending on what point in time you're talking about it and who the player is and how much experience they have and what you think you'd be asking them to do. So.
Bill, for a guy who picked up football relatively later, what are your thoughts on Ziggy Ansah and how productive he's been able to be?
He's a really good player. You know, he adds a lot to that defense because of his edge presence to go with, you know, Sue and Fairley. I mean, I know Fairley's not in there now, but, you know, Mosley and those guys. So he really balances it out. You know, if you start to concentrate too much on the inside part of the defense, then you have, you know, edge problems. And if you concentrate too much on the edge, that lightens the load inside. So, you know, he really has a good complement. And, you know, he's a very disruptive player. He's long, explosive. He's got, you know, a good edge rush, but he's also got power and inside pass rush ability. So he's a tough guy to handle. He does a good job.
Curious, when you look at Joseph Fourier, how much you see any parts of Christian, who you know obviously very well from having coached him?
Yeah, I'd say their style of play is, you know, quite a bit different.
I mean, I know he caught the ball well, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, Christian really, you know, coming out of Colorado, I thought was a little bit undersized, but a legitimate, you know, three-down tight end. I mean, even though he's was a little undersized, he had real good playing strength. He had good hand strength. He could lock on to guys, and, you know, he didn't get tossed around like some guys his size did. Thought he played bigger than maybe his weight size would indicate, and, you know, he was a good receiving tight end. Not elite, but, you know, but good. So, you know, he was really an every down player. He didn't, you know, when he was in his prime, he didn't really have to come off the field. You know, I don't think you would have to take him off the field. You'd do it situationally, but I don't think you'd have to do it. So, you know, I mean, his nephew really hasn't had that kind of opportunity. I mean, they have Pettigrew, and then now they have Ebron. They, you know, I mean, they've got a pretty good stable of tight ends there. He's one of them, but, you know, they're pretty good depth of that position. You know, most of his opportunities have come more in the passing game. But I would say that just watching him on film, his blocking has improved. Because we played him last year in preseason, you know, he had a couple touchdowns against us. He killed us there. But I'd say he's definitely improved as an overall player, and I'd say his blocking has improved quite a bit from last year.
They probably don't show up on the coach's tape, but maybe the touchdown celebrations are the one part we could link them to.
Yeah, there you go.
Is the roster size the biggest difference between coaching special teams now as opposed to back in 76, 77, or is the game drastically different in that area too?
Oh, I'd say it's evolved a lot. Yeah. I mean, the roster size... Again, it's all relative. So, you know, you're playing some of your starters on special teams. You have, you know, six linebackers on the roster, four running backs, four receivers. Well, that's what they had too. You know, so it was. Now you have a lot more specialization. You have a lot of teams that have a core group of players in the kicking game. Five, six guys that are pretty much on every team, and then you have your specialists, and then you have maybe a couple other guys that may play on one or two teams, depending on the, you know, what the needs of that team are. You know, obviously you can play more smaller guys on punt return and kickoff coverage than on a punt team because you only have two guys split out there, right? But on the punt return team. So, you know, depending on which team you're talking about, I think there's some, like, one, maybe two phase players, and then those four phase players are usually, you know, four, five, six, seven guys on your roster, depending on how it's comprised, in addition to the specialists. So, the players on the smaller roster were true backup players. You know, they were one play away from playing middle linebacker or tight end or running back or corner or whatever. You know, now you see teams going into games with, you know, five safeties, five corners, five running backs, you know, heavier positions because there's depth there in the kicking game for those guys. And then schematically, I'd say it's changed a lot just in terms of, you know, punt formation. That's changed, been a huge change. You know, the kickoffs have changed because of the ability of the kickers, and then the rules you know, where now it's a touchback game. So that's changed things a little bit. And the same thing on the field goals. You know, it's hard to block field goals now because of the rules. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you had a lot of other options. You could, you know, you could overload. You could, you know, you could load up certain spots in the protection. You know, now you really, it's hard to do that. So can't hit the snapper, can't jump, can't push, can't pull. I mean, so, yeah, it's changed.
Is it, I mean, just relatively to today, was it easy to coach blocking field goals? And I obviously easy.
I'm just saying you had more options. You had back in the 70s, you had, you know, the jumpers, you had the Matt Blairs and the, you know, guys like that that would have, you know, 5, 6, 7 blocks a year. So that was eliminated. Then you can't hit the center. So center's probably the weakest by far protector on any team's field goal unit, but you're not allowed to hit him. So that's can't line up on him. So that's another opportunity you don't have. You know, you can't overload. So you can only put 6 guys to a side. So that's another, you know, you don't have that extra guy to create that extra gap. So you can't do that. Can't push anybody from behind. So, you know. Is it easier? I mean, I'd say it's a lot harder because you have a lot less options. Yep. And on top of that, the kickers are better. The surfaces are much, much better. You know, you don't have some of the bad fields where, you know, it's hard just to kick the ball, period. You know, you know the baseball stadiums and the, you know, infields that got sodded and all that. I mean, it's, you know, you're not dealing with those kind of situations. Kicking off the dirt and stuff like that. You know, you don't see that anymore. So the kickers have gotten better and the conditions have gotten much better. And you're kind of not allowed to do a lot of things that you would normally do to try to block a kick. So, yeah, it's gotten harder.
Have you ever been in a situation like the Bills have found themselves in this week where something totally out of your control will sort of force you to hit the pause button and created so much uncertainty?
You know, we kind of got into a little bit of that situation in the Pittsburgh in the AFC championship game in what year was it? Was that four? Where we had the big storm come in here and it was headed for Pittsburgh, and so we left on we left a day early and we kind of scrambled on that. So it was like Thursday and we're like, okay fellas, this storm's coming. Like, we got to get out of here. So tomorrow we were going to leave on Saturday or whatever. I forget that. I mean, it was a Saturday game. I can't remember the exact schedule, but I remember we very quickly pulled that together and like, all right, we gotta get up there or we might be trapped here and have to bus and all that to the game. And so we, you know, we just jumped up there, got up there early, spent an extra night in a lovely Pittsburgh hotel. And then there was a lot of snow. Was that like 04? 04, yeah. I can't. Yeah, you guys remember. I'm sure it screwed up your schedule too. But, yeah, so, but, you know, look, whatever it is, we all know that, you know, it's nothing more important than the safety of the, you know, the fans and the, you know, the whole situation. So whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. And, you know, both teams have to adjust to a degree. You know, so that's the one, though, that I remember really where it changed our travel plans pretty, like, within a day. You know, we went from going one day to moving it up and going a day early and, you know. Okay. All right. Thank you.